Pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
I got one of those days ahead of me today. It's got a lot to get done. As you know, we're heading to New York City, NYC, the Big Apple Lifting the Veil Conference tomorrow after the show. In fact, tomorrow's show is going to be a little bit different because I've invited Mark Trump to make a presentation to us tomorrow because I'm going to be traveling. So I'll be doing it from the cars we're rolling. We got to get to New York. And what was it Mark told me? Mark said he's going to talk about DNA, genomics, or Nimrod tomorrow. That'll be some exciting stuff. And hopefully all of you out there going to help us carry that show a little bit. And boy, you know, I've only missed one, I think, or part of one the whole time we've been doing this over 2.5 years. And I really pondered how I could get tomorrow's show done in the morning and then get out of here. But, you know, how would you like to be driving into New York City and arriving rush hour time about 4 o'clock? I thought, nah, that's probably not very wise. So we're going to try to make a little bit earlier getaway. And I got all our dogs in place. I've got all of our trip wires in place. Anybody thinking about breaking into my house, feel free to do that. Make sure that everyone knows where they're going to be able to find you after you try to do that. Breaking into our house would not be a very smart thing to do, but giving you fair warning. Because people say, Coach, every time you leave town, people know it. So, you think I'm that dumb? Come on, man. Come on. You're welcome to come in there. You better bring some friends with you. So, listen, last night, Ohio, Troy Balderson held ground last night. I got a couple things I want to talk about here before we dive into this real, real deeply. I don't want to talk. Can I make something really, really perfectly clear to you folks? I am not a Republican. Okay. I'm not a Republican. If I were to run for public office, which I did before, I ran as a Republican. You got to choose something to run. You can run as an independent, but you're never going to win. Probably not going to win if you go run it. Really, if you run as a real strong Christian Republican, you're probably not going to win. Anyway, that's my experience. But I'm certainly not a Democrat. And one of the things I want to throw on the table here, and I want to have not a long discussion, but I want us to think about this a little bit for me. I want to discuss this issue just initially. How a Christian could ever vote for a Democrat? How a Christian could ever do that? Because I go on my Facebook page and I find people asking, how could a Christian ever vote for a Republican? Now, here's the truth. You got to pick one of them, right? You got to pick your poison. Or you could pick somebody that you could write in somebody and your conscience would be clear, but doesn't really get to the issue of the problem. And I see on my Facebook page, now that I'm back on Facebook page, hey, by the way, folks, CoachDaveLive.com. That's where you'll always be able to find this, okay? CoachDaveLive.com. And while I said that, my mind just got peaked to something I'm supposed to talk about. Let me bring Jared in here a little second. Folks, you know, in case I get rolling, you know me, I get down the road so far and I never get back. I want to get back to that Democrat thing, but hang on. You know of all the shadow banning that's going on and the banning of Alex Jones, and they're even talking about government controlling the internet now. And you know, it's really the angle they have to fight it. It really is election tampering, right? The Facebook presents positions that only support their side, only support the left, and they block anything that would promote anything on the right. That's election tampering.
Hey, Coach.
Nigel
Farage was on Tucker's show yesterday. I know I'm not watching TV. Fox. I'm not counting the three shows on Fox that watches TV. But Nigel Farage was on. He says that since These sites want to act as publishers. They need to be treated as such. They're not. It's not a free open platform. They're working as publishers since they're taking a side.
Yep. Right. Right. And that's why it's important from an election standpoint. Right. They're trying to keep information from a particular viewpoint, whatever. So listen, here's what I want Jared to do here, folks. We've been off Facebook for 30 days. It's happened to us. In fact, that's the third time that's happened to me in the last 6 months. So our footprint is not as strong as it used to be on Facebook, because when you quit using it, the algorithms, everything goes down. So we need you to help boost our presence a little bit. And Jared's going to explain. You say, why, Coach? Why? Because, folks, listen, we're in an information war. Think about that a second. Alex Jones, back how many years ago, he started InfoWars. He understood 20 years ago that this is going to be an information battle. Gatekeepers trying to get the information, the real information out. I was startled yesterday. I listened to something. Alex Jones is only 45 years old. He looks 90. Man, he must have. There must be a lot of stress on that guy. And hey, listen, I don't know what you feel about Alex Jones. And I don't, you know, some say, well, he's a double agent, agent provocateur and all that. I don't care. Doesn't really even matter to me whether you like him or don't like him. The fact is, how can they ban a guy like Alex Jones? How can they do that? And if they can get away with doing that, then they can get away with banning. Some pastor's complaint happened to me, by the way. Some pastors begin to complain about my Christian radio program. The next thing you know, boom. You know, I'm getting a vamoose. So now that we're back on the Facebook, and I don't know how long it's going to be, and I think I shared with you the other day, Facebook is pretty much an old people platform now. The average Facebook user, from their own data, is a 35-year-old woman. So it's not young people. It's us old folks. Everybody else is on Instagram and Reddit and all these other things that I don't know. I got a Twitter account. I don't even know how to tweet. I probably ought to learn how to do that. But Facebook has become... We old timers, we're on Facebook. So I'm trying to reach some old timers anyway, right? And so as a result, we need to understand how this system works. So Jared, just take a couple minutes here and explain how those who really think what we're doing here is important and want to be able to see it spread, you guys are going to have to help us here, okay? You're going to have to help us. Go ahead, Jared, take a minute to explain that.
Yeah, Coach. So I have some theories that I'm working out of, right, based on my knowledge of the internet and working on it for 3 years straight. So, number one, the left is freaking stupid. So, just beyond that. What we need is...
Worse than that, though. I agree with you.
Yeah. Okay, they're freaking stupid. They're stupid in so many ways. And they're... Anyway. So, what we need your help with, and what my theory is, the website is the hub of a wheel. Okay?
CoachDaveLive.com.
CoachDaveLive.com is the hub of the wheel, okay? The videos and audio, so the podcast and the video, is downloadable at CoachDaveLive.com. When you go and you click the video, you can download that video. What we want to do is upload Coach Dave Live, upload Pass the Salt Live, this show, to your personal YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Gab, etc. page. You do that.
Jared, there's just not copy and paste the link, right? Just
correct. Don't do that. The content is what matters, and the content is what they want censored. So the content is what we need to distribute around the internet. Think about it. Every time you download it and upload it, there's a brand new copy online. And if we can get millions of copies, they cannot silence it. And it's different. Everything's branded under you digitally on the back end. It's not connected to Coach. It's Gorilla.
So they can shadow ban Coach Dave Live. You can post that up there, Coach Dave Live, and they can shadow ban that. But you say when you actually upload the show, audio, video, whatever, even whether people are watching it or not, that's creating a new image that they cannot really deal directly with. Is that what you're saying, Jared?
From a data perspective, yes. Now, that's my theory. And I think it's a good one for the next couple of years, because they're going to have to design, you know. Anyway, I think it's the best a next step forward. You download it, download the copy, upload it to all of your platforms. Download the show and upload it to your personal platforms. And then if they start silencing you, and then guess what? We can start building a lawsuit. just with Coach. If we get 50 people, 1,000 people who get blocked on YouTube just for having Coach's show on there, we've got 1,000 people we talk to every day who you can we can work together. So anyway, that's my theory.
Jared, we are in the thousands. I mean, I can't tell you exactly how many. I can promise you this, folks. It's more than the 38 people that we see in the queue right now. There are thousands of people who are daily downloading, looking at, watching it live, watching it on Facebook. We're in the thousands. So our footprint is bigger than what we understand it to be, but we haven't done a good job of trying to expand our footprint. Those old guys like me and Larry and Kevin, and we don't know what we don't know what that means. We don't even understand how this whole system works. And so we have to work together in this process. Is that fair, Jared?
Yep. So download CoachDaveLive.com. Go to the day's episode, download it, upload it to your personal platforms, all of them, everywhere you can. So there's new copies of the show. There's new data of the show.
Wow. I hear him, Jared. How do I download? Ethel, how do we download it? We're not going to take the time to do that, but Jared, that makes a lot of sense.
Well, I can tell you that it's very easy. Jerry set it up to be very easy. If you go to the site, you click on the video, you have your choice of video, audio, and it gives you a separate page and gives you a download button. It couldn't be easier.
There it is. Jared's got it on the screen. Click for video, click for audio. And so what happens, Jared? They click for the audio, and the audio is downloaded to them, right?
They download it right to their computer, right here, as an MP4. This is the video. You save it, downloading it.
Click on download, and it goes
right there.
It's downloaded to your computer.
Mm-hmm. And then you upload it. Right here, audio. Download, right here. Save.
Yep.
It downloads. And then you upload it as if you were making your own video on YouTube, as if you're making your own video on whatever platform. You see, because Coach, from a ministry perspective, Coach can't be on a million platforms, but you guys can.
Right.
Well, all of us, we can be on all the new platforms and all the new stuff that comes out.
Makes sense.
Now, the only caution I have, guys, is that there's probably a fair usage thing that we got to work out. Because
that's
I'm
with Coach,
glad,
though.
I'd be glad to share the videos. I'd love it.
Well, Coach, there we go.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Jared.
Well, Coach, are you okay with people sharing your video in this way?
Please do. Please share. Please share. Cool. All right, Jared, good coaching, and we'll come back to a little bit of that. Let me move on because I don't want to give folks. Listen, they're coming after us anyway, right? They're coming after us anyway. I don't know if you. Here's something. Let me talk. Let me make a. I got a great show for you when I get to it. The election last night here in Ohio, Troy Balderson against Danny O'Connor. Let me paint a picture here because I know you guys don't understand it. First of all, Troy Balderson last night won by less than 1% in an unbelievably Republican district. And I began to have some suspicions when about 3 weeks ago, all of a sudden, Troy Balderson's 10-point lead just kind of disappeared. Just disappeared. They said, wow, this thing's neck and neck. Now I'm thinking, how can this possibly be neck and neck? Well, we find out last night it was neck and neck. How did they know it was neck and neck? Anyway, last night he won by about 1%. This is crazy. You ready for this one? This was a special election last night. Our Congressman Pat T. Barry. Yes, I'm going to get to the gospel. Hang on. Our Congressman Pat T. Barry is one of those guys that resigned. Just resigned. He'd been in there for 16 years or something. He resigned. And he resigned effective, whatever. So they had to have a special election last night to fill the remaining, what month is this? August, September, October, 2 month seat being filled last night by that special election. In other words, Troy Balderson won last night for 2 months. He is our congressman for 2 months. And then what happens in November? They have to do it all over again. The same two guys are going to run again in November, 2 months down the road. They're going to run again for their own two-year term. Everybody following me? Follow me? So all of a sudden we find out this is neck and neck. How's this neck and neck? Pat T. Barry won by 67% last time he ran the 2016 election. He won by 67%. How can this thing be neck and neck, neck and neck? So, man, something's not right here. Because, listen, they can control. I'm not making this accusation. I'm laying it out on the table. They can control. They can alter local elections. They have the ability to do that with the voting machine. They have the ability to do that. And, of course, Ohio has an open 30-day open election process. You can go vote 30 days before the election. So last night when the whole thing starts, they counted. First of all, they had already counted what they call the absentee ballots. And Danny O'Connor, the Democrat, got 68% of the early vote. Can you think about that a second? 68% of the early vote, which came from where? Why, inner city Columbus. 68% of the vote. Like, all those guys are getting up in the morning and going out. Those inner city guys, they're going down standing in line at the polls to vote. Yeah, right.
Hey,
yeah.
Hey, coach, the same ones who get the Gibbs and don't have to work all day
are voting? Those guys. So anyway, when the whole election is done last night and Balderson won by less than 1%. I mean, the polls were right on, man, right on. We find out that in the election last night, 85% of the Democrat electorate turned out. So in other words, back when T. Berry ran before, his opponent got 110,000 votes. You with me? In 2016, the Democrat got 110,000 votes. Last night, the Democrat got just under 100,000 votes. 86%. The Democrat last night got 86% of the total vote from the 2016 general election. Are you following me now? Special election. Special election. Troy Balderson, the Republican, got 40%. In other words, only 40% of the Republicans turned out, but 85% of the Democrats turned out. Come on, man. Come on, man.
No way. There had to be some fraud in there.
So they knew that. Even in the polling, they knew that, didn't they, Larry? They knew it even in the polling. Now, understand this. The only reason they were so worried about this last night and they dumped thousands and thousands and millions and millions of dollars into it is because they wanted to show that Trump's support was fading. That was the whole point. That's why they put millions of dollars into the election so Danny O'Connor could win for 2 months and then have the general election when Danny O'Connor, the Democrat, is going to get murdered because this is one of the most Republican districts in all of America. Am I making sense here, folks?
Yeah,
my
first takeaway when I saw that 85-40 statistic this morning on Drudge, I said, Republican, you know, the Democrats really got out the vote or there was fraud, and I kind of leaned toward fraud. But then I realized the real takeaway from those numbers is this. The Republicans are too complacent.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Just because we're in charge and in power now, it's the I'll sit down and let somebody else do the hard lifting. That's the mentality that the majority of the people that vote Republican have.
33, Larry, voting isn't even hard. It isn't even hard, right? See, there's still 3,300 provisional ballots out there and some absentee ballots. But how can 68% of the absentee ballots be Democrat in a powerfully strong Republican district? So we have this kind of stuff, folks. This stuff, listen, it's 200. I should have had this better prepared, Jared. Pat T. Berry, who won in November, when Trump won, Pat T. Berry won. Pat T. Berry had 67% of the vote. 67. 257,000 votes or something like that. Troy Balderson last night got 101. Troy Balderson got 150,000 fewer votes than Pat T. Berry got. And the votes didn't go to Danny O'Connor. Danny O'Connor got basically what the Democrats turned out the last time. Something fishy going on. Yeah, Mark?
Usually, correct me if I'm wrong, Larry, the absentee ballots are primarily military, or they have been historically.
Yeah, historically, that's true.
Yeah.
So how is that much of the military voting Democrat, coach?
Well, how about this too, buddy? How did they know this thing is this tight? How did they know that all the Democrats are going to turn out and the Republicans weren't? How did they know? Well, they didn't know that other than they knew how much of the Democratic vote they were going to turn out. They knew that. And how did they know that? Well, me thinks something crazy is going on.
Okay. When you have poll workers with access to the early voting list of who voted and who didn't, it's easy to fix out absentee ballots on everybody that hasn't voted yet. And then on election day, you just, the ones that still haven't voted that used to have the absentee ballots already filled out for, you just dump those in the system. And it's like that they voted. Only it was a poll worker doing, you know, I mean, an elections office worker doing the voting. That's the way it works here in South Carolina.
So let's move beyond this a little bit, because I don't want to spend all day on it. Here's what these two guys are running again in 2 months. Do you guys get this picture? The same two guys have to run again in 2 months for their own 2-year term. So we're going to do this all over again, and it won't even be close, because number one, Dems can cheat all they want. This is a Republican district. So it's not even going to be close. And the only reason they were trying to do it last night is to show that Trump is losing all of his support. See, T-Berry won by 67% and Balderson loses. Everybody hates Trump. That was the message they were trying to get through. And didn't do it. So I want to weave into this. I got some good stuff to share. Stay with me, please. I'm going to get into some scriptures here. I really, somebody help me here. How do Christians vote for Democrats? Because I hear the other side. I hear some Democrats. How do you Republicans vote for a guy like Trump? How do you vote for that guy who grabs pussies? And how can you guys vote for that guy? I hear that a lot. And somebody help me here. Explain to me how voting for Trump in any way, shape, or form compares to voting for Hillary. Maybe I'm blind. Somebody unblind me here this morning. And somebody, from a Christian perspective, can somebody, anybody, please make the case for voting for Hillary from a Christian perspective? That doesn't mean you're voting for Hillary. Somebody make that argument for me. I want to hear it.
Hey, Coach.
Hey, Hillary. George, I'll get back to you today, by the way. George got busy yesterday. Go ahead.
Okay, no problem. Coach, in good conscience, I could vote for Hillary because she's a strong Methodist. Methodists were founded by John West, Charles Wesley, very godly denomination. And I think Hillary's a deeply committed Methodist. What do you think about that?
She cares for the poor. She cares for the poor.
Yeah.
Okay. Go ahead. That's two. She's a good Methodist and she cares for the poor. I am not making this up. Somebody please explain this mentality to me. Somebody explain it to me.
Coach, it's very simple. They're not Christians. They may call themselves that. They may pretend in their minds to be that, but they are not. But vote for sodomite, baby killing, God haters. The Democratic Party denounced God 3 times in the most recent platform.
Okay, Lowell, I'm with you, man. I'm with you. Now, Lowell, how can Christians not see this? I understand they're not Christians. I understand. But I want to put myself in the position of not a real Christian, a fake Christian who really believes they're a Christian. And based on what can they vote for a Democrat? I'm serious. Hey, listen, I'm not a Republican. I'm telling you that again. I'm a Christocrat. I vote what I think is best. You know, you guys know me. Somebody, please make that argument for me. I for the life of me, I go to abortion. They're at the forefront of that. I go to homosexuality. They're at the forefront of that. They lit up the White House in rainbow colors. I go to border jumping. I go to crime. I go to welfare? Well, I see welfare because they say, well, we're supposed to take care of the poor. Okay, does that trump, pardon the term, does that trump abortion? Homosexual? Come on, somebody help. Hey, are you ready? The Catholics are the worst. Come on, somebody make that argument for me. I'm telling you, I don't get it. I do not get it. And if I'm wrong, I want to know why. Maybe I should be voting for Hillary. Convince me of why I should be voting for Hillary. Raj?
You are very, very close-minded. I would propose my voting record for Hillary Clinton is solid. It has been permanent and unwavering. She is supportive of the equality of women, that a woman will control their own body. The electorate is comprised of a few women out there, and they want that right to control their body. Social justice, fairness, equality for all. She believes.
And Hillary is that, and Trump isn't.
Right. She believes that two men are able to get it on. And there's a lot of people that want two men. They want two men to be able to get it on.
And Hillary's a Christian, and the Bible teaches not to judge. And so she is just being non-judgmental.
Probably the last thing is the environment, you know.
Jared, go back to that previous page. That's good. Go ahead.
But, Dave, we got to protect this environment. God could not have created an earth that could withstand us. He's only God. But he is environment, protecting it, and those poor little animals in the shelters. She is supportive of the lost puppies and dogs that are out there. And I don't say that in a callous way, but she really in that. So those are a few of my foundational understandings of Hillary Clinton and why I allow my support to go towards her. Thank you very much. And very please.
We're gonna, counselor, can you meet me back in my quarters or whatever they call that? Social justice is the concept of fair and just relations between individual and society. This is measured by the explicit and tactical, tacit terms of distribution of wealth, opportunities for personal activity, and social privileges. And West, okay, there you are. So that's social justice. And our churches are teaching social justice. Okay, I get that. I get that. Does social justice trump abortion? I don't understand how Christians who vote for Democrats overlook abortion. I don't get it.
Hey, Coach.
Or whoever's, yes.
Well, you'd also say, too, I would vote for Hillary Clinton because she's a strong woman. She put up with a unfaithful man, and she showed how to handle that as a great example of strong strength and, a strong woman. You know,
okay.
That she doesn't put up with the abuse, you might say.
Okay. I'm still not convinced, Paul, but good. Go ahead, Lowell, you want to come in?
Well, I was just going to say, a level of sophistication in analyzing political support is its coalitions. So you've got the Democrats are supported by the pro-illegal immigrant group, by the pro-abortion people that are single-issue voters on that, anti-gun, as you say, welfare, that type of thing with other people's money.
I'm talking about Christians vote for Hillary. How do Christians do that? How can any Christian watch what's going on in the culture and the society with the riots and the all of that?
The Catholic Church, Roman Catholic Church, has never held people accountable for the way they vote, nor has our preachers. I mean, you stand up in a pulpit in any little country church around southern Ohio and you start talking about, you know, voting, you know, for Donald Trump and against Hillary Clinton or against Obama, they'll toss your butt out, you know, yeah. Because there's a strong family tradition of, Democrats. My mother passed away. She voted Democrat every day, every election of her life. She voted for Barack Obama because she thought she was voting for Franklin Delano Roosevelt, who brought electricity to the hills.
Okay. That's right.
So you got all that stuff going on, too. Yeah.
But in this day of enlightenment, it's just absolutely. I don't want to get bogged down on this, but this just fascinates me. Yeah, Paul.
Well, I was just saying too, as another thing too, the church has really been, particularly men. I'm going to say this, and have we've been effeminized to where that somebody like Hillary Clinton wouldn't even have a chance to win the presidency. I think that's what's happened. Made a lot of, to me, Donald Trump kind of represents what a man, I mean, he's not perfect, but what a man should be, strong, fights. I mean, doesn't put up with a bunch of junk, you know.
Hey, Paul, yeah, I agree, Paul. How can any Christian I'm talking about, self-identifying Christian, look over the shoulder at Barack Obama and think he was good for America? How can any Christian do that, Paul? And anybody, can anybody help me with that? Think that what he did was good for America?
Well, what he did was he took his ethnicity and he used it against America.
Right.
He took, being black, quote unquote, and used that as a way to kind of, I'll say this, and some of the whites were guilty. And so they said, if I'm vote for this man, then that means I'm not a racist. And I think that's where a lot of it was, because you had a lot of guilt. So if I didn't vote for him, then I'd be a racist. And it's like, no, it's not true.
I agree with you. But how can we now not look over our shoulder, 2 years over our shoulder, at the previous 8 years and say, you know, that guy screwed up America? And how could anybody go out and vote for that? It's unbelievable. How can anybody defend what was done during the Obama administration? Now, there's some things he probably did that were okay. But I'm telling you, I am baffled when I come across Christians and they tell me that they're voting, getting out to vote for Danny O'Connor yesterday. I saw one guy said, well, Danny O'Connor's pro-life. Are you kidding me? The entire Democratic Party's pro-death. And he's going to go in there and be pro-life? You're voting for him. I mean, a vote for Danny O'Connor is a vote for godlessness. How can they not see that? I'm baffled by it. I don't want this to be all political. Let's go to Romans 13, Jared. One of my my wife even barked this one at me this morning. Romans 13. It's like she had never seen this before. So I want to remember this was written by a Christian to Christians for Christian government, right? This is never applied to secular government, folks. Any government where God is not the head, Romans 13 does not apply. We'll say that again, because some of you don't understand. Any government where Jesus Christ is not honored in the head of the government, that government does not apply. Romans 13 does not apply. Are you with me? I could go right now and move to Saudi Arabia. I'm going to tell you, Romans 13 does not apply to Saudi Arabia. Romans 13 does not apply in the Sudan. Romans 13 does not apply in China. And it's rapidly reaching the point where Romans 13 does not apply in America. Stay with me, okay? Let's try this now. Let me throw a couple words in here, and I'm not trying to change the scriptures. I'm trying to change your perspective on the scriptures, okay? Let every soul be subject unto the higher Christian powers. For there is no Christian power but of God. The Christian powers that be are ordained of God. Whoever therefore resisteth the Christian powers resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist the Christian powers shall receive to themselves damnation. For Christian rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil works. Will you then not be afraid of the Christian power? Do that which is good, and you shall receive the praise of the Christian government. For he is the Christian minister of God to thee for good. But if you do that which is evil and is unchristian, be afraid. The Christian government does not bear the sword in vain. For the Christian politician, government official, is a minister of God, the Christian God. He is a revenger to execute wrath upon him that does evil by violating the standards of God. Wherefore, you must needs be subject not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. For this cause pay you taxes also, for the Christian government are God's ministers attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all Christian government their dues. Tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom is due in a Christian government, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Folks, this does not apply. God's principles do not apply in a non-Christian environment. Come on! Come on! So there is the battle. And people say, see, we, our enemies are turning the world upside down in the streets, and Christians are being taught to obey. Obey. Obey what? Those wicked, evil rulers? Obey Nancy Pelosi? Minister, she's a minister of God for good? Obey Hillary Clinton? She's a minister of God for good? Are you kidding me? How about this one? Obey the IRS? They're a minister of God for good. Go ahead, Kyle, white right wing watch. I'm simply asking the question. And we've been brainwashed, especially older folks, senior citizens like me. I remember when my dad's Democratic Party, I remember when they had some values to them, some Christian values. I remember when the government had some Christian values to it. Now there are no Christian values in the government, and we're supposed to pledge allegiance and fidelity and public, what's the word, acclamation of a non-Christian government. Somebody come in and show me where I'm missing. Nobody? Okay, then I'll keep on talking. It is Coach Dave Live. CoachDaveLive.com. I'm going to show you something there, okay? I'm going to, by the way, Lexi. You guys know Lexi, right? Lexi Hall, our 17-year-old warrior down in Houston, Texas. God bless you, Lexi. I'm so proud of you. I got a call. Actually, I got a message from Lexi yesterday and was able to get back with her yesterday. Lexi went to church, to her church. She says it's a big church, mega church, four campuses, one of those kind, four campuses. And she heard her pastor give a message last Sunday. Lexi's 17 years old. Pastor gave a message last Sunday talking about sacrificing our children to Baal. And he made the statement, it's good to know that we live in America and in a country where that kind of thing doesn't go on anymore, sacrificing our children to Baal. And the hair stood up on Lexi's neck. I don't know that. She told me it did. And she called the church and asked if she could get an appointment with this pastor who is head of four campuses. And today, Lexi is meeting with the pastor. And she's going to hold him to account. You know what she's going to do? She's going to take in a jar full of M&Ms. She's going to present it to the pastor as a gift. And then she's going to talk to him about abortion and that we are sacrificing our children. And then when she meeting's over, she's going to say, by the way, pastor, every one of those M&Ms in that jar, that represents a child being murdered in Texas every day, being sacrificed to Baal.
Amen, brother. Wow.
Now, is that some guts?
Wow.
Is that some guts? Some 17-year-old girl wants to know, what the heck are you teaching us? What are you teaching us? So be in prayer for Lexi. Boy, she's fired up. And we created a monster there, man. God bless Lexi. Okay, so I've been trying to get this up on my screen here. I got 20 minutes. I think I can do it. Jared, pull up the thing about Rusty. I got time to do this. Hey, Jared, I'm sorry. My screen went down on me, Jared. I'm sorry here. Let's go to the stuff I sent you, Jared. And let's go to, there it's coming back up. Thank you, Lord. My screen's popping back up now. It went dormant on me. Jared, let's go to where it says in the stuff, Rusty's arrest. I want to remind us of Rusty Thomas and those people being arrested on Mother's Day weekend for going and interposing for them, those for going and sitting in front of the abortion clinic door. By the way, they're still in trial, but this is going to go somewhere. Stay with me here. Play this brief 5-minute video, Operation Save America, of them interposing at the abortion. Go ahead, Jared. Children brutally murdered, stolen in the trash. That's for those. On May 11th, 2017, 11 Christians were arrested, trying to rescue the children.
Jesus, with thy church abide, be her Savior, Lord and God, while on earth her faith is tried. Oh, we beseech thee, hear us. Telling of a Savior dear. Oh, we beseech thee, hear us. Keep her life and doctrine pure. Help her patient to trusting in thy promise sure. Oh, we beseech thee, hear us.
60 million little baby boys and girls have been murdered in this nation. Oh God, in Jesus' name, turn our hearts, open our eyes. How can we sanction evil? And abominations good. Oh Lord, we fall so far from you that we kneel before you. We stand in the gap and say, God, have mercy on a wicked nation, have mercy on a nation that is departed from you.
May she guide the poor and blind, seek the lost until she finds, and the broken hearted bind. Oh, we beseech thee, hear us. May her lamp of truth be bright, bid her bear
the day that you arrested my people. They are not criminals here. We're here to save life. They are the ones that are destroying life for blood money. And we all need to repent as a nation for this lawless act.
Arm her soul and
Wow, huh? Well, that's powerful, man. That's powerful. Hey, Jared, let's go to Rusty. The thing it says Rusty here. Pull this up, because folks, I've been trying to get to this for a couple, almost a week, and these guys ended up in court. Talking about Romans 13. We are not to obey ungodly edicts and ungodly court decisions. We are not to obey those, folks. It's difficult for us. We haven't been taught that. We're not supposed to. Now, I want you to see that this is amazing. And I'm going to try to do the best that I can. Rusty and those guys, they're in federal court, face a violation, blocking federal access to clinic entrances. It's a federal offense to do what they just did, or be accused of what they just did, prevent women to be able to go in. They're called rescuers who sit down. So Rusty's been in depositions. They've all been in all kinds of depositions with the federal government. And I want you to watch this unbelievable prophetic witness. I'll know if you guys have never been into what they call an interrogatory. It's questions that the prosecutors ask you to answer before they do the depositions. They want to have some basis of understanding of where you're coming from. So you have to do these interrogatives, and you're under oath when you do them. And you can say whatever you want to, but you have to say it. And so Rusty just released a set of interrogatives that he was required to file. Folks, this is so powerful. Jared, let's scroll down here. Clear on down, Jared. I'll tell you where to go. Because I want to read here. I want you to hear some of Rusty's answers here, okay? Standing up for the Lord, declaring thus saith the Lord. So the first question was identify with specifics. The attorney's asking this. Identify everyone who provided information used in preparing the response to these interrogatories, yada, yada, yada. Let's go down to Rusty's answer through his attorney. Scroll on down, Jared. That doesn't matter. Were you arrested? Yes, I was. Verse 4. Identify your intentions. Why did you do that? Did you intend to prevent a person from receiving an abortion? Did you intend to do that? Did you intend to prevent a person from providing an abortion services? If your intentions were accomplished, identify with specificity what was accomplished. So Rusty says, A, not directly. I did it at the front door. It was not us blocking the door, but the clinic escorts who did. You can see the pictures. We sat down in front of them. As a result, the intervention, one life was indeed saved, to life spared. We give glory to God. Besides that, our goal was accomplished, which was to provide a Christian example of the doctrine of interposition for Governor Bevin into the state government of Kentucky. Bevin's motive to make Kentucky abortion free is good. His actions, this is Rusty responding to the court. His actions, however, are insufficient to end the injustice and suffering of the preborn children made in the image of God. Governor Bevin used the language of those who advocate for the murder of the preborn by treating abortion as a healthcare issue. We went to the abortion mill to remind the governor that abortion is not a healthcare issue. That it can be solved by a legal technicality. It's a crime. It's called murder, and it needs to be penalized by law. This is in Rusty's deposition. This is testifying the truth of the gospel. God demands justice, he tells the attorneys. The states and our nation will ever be delivered from the doctrine of blood guiltiness. Bevin and every civil magistrate's duty before God are to interpose and end all abortion from chemical to surgical on a state level. I got to dismiss something here down here. They need the courage of their conviction to say no to the federal government and that to unleash this bloodlust and hell upon our nation. Go on down. They must uphold the sworn duty to protect the life, liberty, and property of Kentucky citizens born and preborn. The checks and balances of our federal government have disappeared for years. The states must place the constitutional chain to reapply those checks and balances back on the federal government to rein in their long train of abuses. So the next question, identify whether you have been arrested or at 50 feet of an abortion facility. How many times, Rusty? He says, too many to recall. Next one, 6. Describe with specificity your understanding of the doctrine of interposition. Good. Here we go. Rusty says the doctrine of interposition clearly stated takes place when a tyrant, bully, or stronger entity, the federal government, targets the weak and helpless, the preborn child, for harm, and a third party, Christians, stands between them to protect the victim. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ provided the ultimate example of interposition. Rusty is speaking the truth of the gospel to the federal prosecutors. He stood on the cross between man's threefold enemy, the world, the flesh, and the devil, to save those who would repent of their sin and place their faith in Christ. He died and rose again to redeem his people by his blood and transform them by the power of his Holy Spirit. An example of, from American history is the interposition that took place between the Underground Railroad and the appalling practice of slavery. Christians back then interposed to rescue their black brothers and sisters oppressed by the federal government that under the color of law had enslaved them. The Supreme Court and the federal judiciary played the tyrant back then and were in extreme violation of our own Declaration of Independence and Constitution. In the 1815s, the Wisconsin legislature and the state Supreme Court demonstrated interposition in the Joshua Glover Sherman Booth incident. They both defied the federal government regarding slavery and the unjust Fugitive Slave Act. This included defying the U.S. Supreme Court. They stated in part, resolved that this assumption of jurisdiction by the federal judiciary in the said case and without process is an act of undelegated power and therefore without authority, void, and of no force. The Wisconsin legislature said in 1859. The same court that violated the liberty of our black citizens yesteryear is the same court doing the same thing to the American children in the womb. They were in grave error back then. The same court and all who support their unjust, immoral, and unconstitutional decision to decriminalize abortion are in grave error today, Rusty told him. And they say, describe with specificity your understanding of what it means to rescue. Go on down. Here's his answer. I'm just going to read one more. I'll copy these for you. Here's Rusty's answer. Rescue those being led away to death and hold back those staggering towards slaughter. If you say, but we knew nothing about this, does not he who weighs the heart perceive it? Does not he who guards your life know it? Will he not repay everyone according to what they've done? In legal terms, the call to rescue would be exemplified by the necessity defense. A citizen is walking alongside a fence, and on the other side of the fence is a pool. A child falls into the pool and is drowning. Though the sign on the fence clearly says no trespassing, a higher law demands the rescue of that drowning child. All the law and the prophets are summed up into two great commandments. We're to love God with all of our hearts, our mind, our soul, and strength. To love our neighbors as ourselves. Our preborn neighbor is being led to slaughter. We have neighbors, parents, which are considering doing the unspeakable to their own sons and daughters. We have neighbors, abortionists, who are putting their hand to commit a brutal crime for blood money. We have other neighbors, citizens who are calloused, indifferent, and blinded to the plight of their neighbors. We must love them all enough to tell them the gospel truth that has the power to rescue them and set them free. Okay, I'm going to stop. You can read the rest up on your own. Wow. Wow. Oh, let's go one more. Describe what you think, what it means to stand in the gap. Get him, Rusty. What's it mean to stand in the gap? Woo, his answer, Ezekiel 25:30-22-25, the conspiracy of her prophets in her midst is like a roaring lion tearing the prey. They have devoured people. They have taken treasures and precious things. They have made many widows in her midst. Her priests have violated my law and profaned my holy things. They have not distinguished between the holy and the unholy, nor have they made known the difference between the unclean and the clean. They have hidden their eyes from my Sabbath so that I am profaned among them. Her princes in her midst are like wolves tearing the prey to shed blood, to destroy people, and to get dishonest gain. Her prophets plastered them with untempered mortar, seeing false visions and divining lies for them, saying, thus says the Lord God, when the Lord had not spoken. The people of the land have used oppressions, committed robbery, mistreated the poor and needy, and they wrongfully oppressed the stranger. So I sought for a man among them who would make a wall, stand in the gap before me on my behalf of the land that I should not destroy. I found no one. Therefore, I've poured out my indignation on them. I've consumed them with the fire of my wrath, and I have recompensed their deeds on their own head, said the Lord. The prophets, priests, princes, rulers, and citizens of Israel became corrupt, unjust, oppressive, and lawless. God called for someone to stand in the gap and make up the hedge to prevent his wrath from being poured out on their heads. He doesn't call for someone to sing about the gap or write about the gap or preach about the gap or attempt to legalize to justify the gap. No, no, no. He wants someone to actually stand in the gap between the living and the dead to perhaps give God a reason to show mercy when our abominations like child sacrifices, shedding of innocent and parading our sin like Sodom deserve his judgment. Wow. Perhaps America is not a burning ember yet due to some who have faithfully sought to live out this biblical ethic in our nation today. And though you may consider those who do such things criminals at the supreme bar of justice in heaven, which we will all stand before to give an account, it has the potential to deliver our nation from evil and the divine retribution it so richly deserves. This goes on and on and on. And word come down from Rusty that it looks like their attorney said that they don't believe they're going to continue with the prosecution. Why? Because they unsheathed the word of God and it sliced and diced those prosecutors. And the last thing I think they would ever want is Rusty Thomas on his witness stand explaining why what he did was legal and what they are doing is lawless. Help me wrap this up. I mean, it just touches me, man. It just touches me. See, that's strength. I got to tell you that. I had a meeting yesterday. Oh, Lord, how do I say this? I had a meeting yesterday. Remember I talked about the pastor that was going through whatever here locally. Something that happened 30 some years ago. And I had a very intimate conversation with somebody yesterday, and I laid it out for him this way. And here's the way I laid it out with him. I told him this. Here's what you're facing. Here's what you're looking at. You're looking at weak men. You're looking at weak Christian men sitting in that church who know that what you did or what was done is under the blood and understand redemption. And weak Christian men will not stand up and speak the truth to this other group of people who've now invaded and taken over. And when the whole thing's over, you'll be, I lived it. You'll be surrounded by Christian men patting on you on the back saying, oh, I was with you all the way. I was with you all the way. And they're weak and they're spineless. And they won't stand up against any opposition. Christian men. That's how we got in the mess that we're in today. Man, I'm up against the clock. Tomorrow, Mark Trump. God bless you, Mark. Thanks for helping me out. I asked Mark to make a presentation tomorrow. Mark's presentation tomorrow is going to be on, I'm looking for what you said to me here earlier, Mark. You don't want to miss it. It'll be good. You guys know. Well, it's going to be on DNA, genomics, or Nimrod. What's really going on with AI and all that stuff. Man, oh, man. Unbelievable. Hey, yeah, somebody said, Jared, can you put that up from Rusty? See some way, Jared, that we can share that with others. How a Christian man responds when he stands before an unrighteous government. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.